Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Neuroqueering Podcast. I'm your host, Pasha Marlowe, and we are doing kind of a special episode, an unexpected bonus episode. The last time I was recording, Nigel, I said, I'm on my 100th episode and I'm in the middle of a big rebranding, and I am. So this is like the transition between last season and the new season, where we're going to dig into a lot of accessibility. But this is going to be a good conversation to transition to that, because Nigel Rising is here, and Nigel is the CEO of AWE, Autistic Women Emerging, and Nigel is hosting the first ever Autistica Palooza in Denver in October, and I'll be speaking at that conference, and I'm super excited. So we're going to hear about Nigel, the autistic experience, especially from a late in life perspective, and then always like a neuroqueer lens, of course, because this is the Neuroqueering Podcast. So welcome, Nigel.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a while, especially because of the topic. Apparently, folks are out there surprised that I'm gay, and I'm happy to talk about her. Even though we're getting a divorce, we actually have a better friendship now than we did while we were married. So good stuff happening there.
That is very gay to remain friends with your ex. And to do you still live together?
No, we do not. She lives in Texas, where I'm from, just moved here to Denver in May. However, interesting things on the lesbian drama front. She actually just got a job in Denver and will be living here as of April 21st, just in time to celebrate my 54th birthday with her.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. I also live with my soon to be ex, and I know a lot of people do. It's partly a sign of the times and the economy and the housing market, as well as I think adult people just adulting and being able to have, you know, respectful, meaningful relationships with people and not listen to society's rules about who we should or shouldn't still remain with or live with, and all those rules, constructed rules and norms that we don't follow as autistic women, right?
You know, man, that's exactly it. I think that is a great reason our marriage did not do so well. We both are from Texas. We're raised Southern. I'm raised Mexican. She's raised German American. And we thought there were rules we needed to live by. And damn what we thought or felt. But it's been after our relationship ended that I learned I'm autistic. We still love each other. So we have just decided that we will make our relationship work for us. Who cares what anybody else thinks of it? We will express our love for each other our way, whether that's a legal marriage or not. The thing is, there's love there. So we're both happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And think of all the people who are married or in supposedly committed relationships, and they're miserable because there isn't that love and respect and agency in the relationships. So I keep feeling like agency might be just the pinnacle, like offering people agency to make their own decisions, of course, about how they identify and who they love and what their support needs are. But then kind of at the top of the ladder of abstraction, I think thinking about like, that's all we all want is freedom and agency to choose for ourselves what we want in life, who we want to spend time with, how we want to identify, all that.
Yeah. Exactly. And there is so much freedom in that. And that has been discovering all of that has been part of my post-diagnosis journey. When my mom died in 22, I had that feeling. I just didn't know what it was until I started getting into the community. I had no idea that all of this, all these new terms, all these new ways of thinking. I mean, they've been out there for a while, but I have been so socially isolated. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of a lot of things, but there is just a brand new world of freedom out here that I am discovering. And that is where I'm so goofy, excited sometimes in the morning and on a podcast that, and I keep forgetting that espresso is caffeine when I order my Starbucks coffee in the morning. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm actually consciously trying to speak slower today and didn't have any caffeine this morning.
I'm fine with that. I think one of the things I really enjoy the most about autistic people, whether I agree with their ideas or not, is the level of intensity and care and like detail and thoughtfulness that goes into our thought processes, our learning, our information, our sharing. And, you know, and again, just because I'm in autistic community doesn't mean I feel connected or in community with all autistic people. I mean, I feel very connected to people who enjoy neuroqueering and people who are kind to each other and respectful of each other. But that's not all autistic people. So sometimes I don't feel like I'm in community with all autistic people, but we all are very strong in our opinions. Have you found that?
I completely agree. And quite frankly, that's something I love about us because I hate wishy-washy. You know, I mean, especially at work. I mean, tell me the mission, tell me my tools, and then get the heck out of my way. And I'm really happy that your kid is doing great at T-ball, but we'll talk about it outside of work. But with our relationships, yeah. I mean, there were some great moments where our attention to detail for each other really came out in the types of gifts that we gave each other. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we were passionately angry when we were angry, mm-hmm. and we were passionately happy when we were happy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, high highs and low lows. I have, and I'm autistic as well, so I could joke about this, how hard it is to settle into ease and relaxation or even pleasure because of that intensity level that sometimes just an average mundane day is quite challenging for me.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And Jennifer, poor thing, she worked in the construction industry in Texas. First of all, in Texas, when you're a woman, it's hard. But in the construction industry, it's double hard. Men, you know, all they do is raise their voices sometimes, unfortunately, in that construction type, traditionally male environment. So she would come home completely exhausted. Mm. And if I had known then to adapt what I did for her to what we needed, things would have been so much better. And incidentally, she's going to join me on the Autistic Holistic Mixed Relationships panel. And she wasn't originally, but she actually asked if she could be on the panel with me because we really do want to help other people, other in relationships in which one person is autistic and has no idea how that is actually affecting the relationship. Mm-hmm. Had we known things would be different, but that's just the way things worked out for us.
Yeah. I think that's beautiful that you're going to be sharing those experiences and I'll be leaving that panel. So I can't wait to hear. But most of my work is working with couples where one or both is autistic and a lot of queer couples as well. And it's interesting that so much of it comes down to sensory issues or a need to fully, completely understand a situation, like really needing to understand the why, closing the loops, getting the details, not wanting to be in the dark, wanting to make sure we're completely accurate and thorough. And that's not a shared experience for a lot of people. It's frustrating for a lot of people who would rather be more maybe spontaneous or more relaxed. And so often it's like oil and water.
Yeah. And I have to be honest with you. I was really one of those persons who has bought in to Hollywood romance movies. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it to be like that. And I wanted her to know what it was that, you know, I wanted her to bring home tulips to me that day. And in the end, toward the end of the relationship, she actually got great at that, you know, bringing me home tulips at the end of the day. But there was another area where we weren't in sync yet. And thankfully, that's another area that we've really gotten a whole lot better at. So, yeah.
Good. Yeah. And also something that comes up is, you know, you're not going to change. You're never not going to be autistic. You know, somebody else might never not be goofy or playful or serious or we are who we are. And so in relationships, sometimes when we finally settle into our truth and acknowledge our needs, our identity, our support needs, our access needs, our desires, we're like, oh, we're not compatible. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I am an intense person. Mm-hmm. People have called me Spot. That's been a nickname. And I don't really discuss, you know, run of the mill kind of things. And I really did not realize I was such an intense person because I have been so isolated. Mm-hmm. And learning about other autistic women who are similar to me mm-hmm. really pointed that out. Jennifer is just, she's the last man standing at the party. You know, she will be floating down the river on an inner tube until you can't see the sun, you know, so we're opposites in that way, but she's also brilliant. And that's why we connected so well. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can't imagine my life without her being in it. And I am just thrilled that she's going to be here next to me physically and that we're maturing in our relationship. And she's actually one of the directors of all the charity because she really wants to help other couples avoid what we went through. So we've both come a long way.
Yeah. Cool. Love that. And you would, you're going to be directing this, directing, leading, producing, creating, the Autisticapalooza. And it's interesting because I haven't had a conversation yet with somebody who's creating a big event, but through the lens of neuroqueering or how to create spaces as safe as possible, as welcoming as possible for neurodivergent people, women, non-binary folk in this case, for you and your conference, specifically autistic people. But how do you go about creating through that lens as you create your event? Like, what kind of special things or unique things are you offering to hold space for the autistic experience at your event?
Well, first and foremost, we're going to have a quiet room available throughout the entire 2.5-day conference. Nice. I selected a hotel that we're able to control the lighting. Hmm. The carpet is not as in your face screaming as most carpets tend to be at hotel ballrooms. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good size space where we will be comfortable, not on top of each other. The ballroom itself can hold 1,000 theater people in theater seating, but I'm not going to get anywhere near that because I want us to be comfortable. Autisticapalooza is not about making money. It's about creating an experience for us. And I have no doubt some things are going to go south, but this is the first time we're doing it. And we don't really have a prototype or a previous conference that we can go by. The first person to buy a ticket had actually already volunteered before she bought the ticket. Her name is Dandelion. She's going to be working with finding apps and how we can use tech at the conference to make the conference work for us as autistic people. We're going to have signage beyond signage. I am going out to the airport and I'm going to video record the whole path from the airport through public transportation to get to the hotel. I am going to videotape the whole hotel. There's going to be floor plans of everything. We love information and it makes us feel calmer. And everybody that I now have on my team, which accounts for about 10 people now, all autistic women, we are driving this boat. We have examples from the past, but those are holistic conferences. We're going to try a lot of new things here that we think are going to be important and useful to us as autistic people. So it's going to be a fast ride. Hold on. But I mean, we're going to be there and we're autistic women and we want to make this a good event for everybody in terms of what they learn and in terms of how they feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciate the videotaping. When I present at conferences, they say, what accommodations do you need? And every single time I say, if I could just get a photograph of the room I'll be in, a photograph of the stage I'll be on, a photograph of the front of the hotel. And I never get these things. I never, because these are not accommodations that they're used to hearing, you know? They said, just come 5 minutes before your presentation. You'll be fine. Like, 5 minutes. I'm going to show up 2 hours minimum before my presentation to make sure the room exists, to make sure I'm in the right room. I look at the gate at an airport hours ahead of time and check it every 5 minutes to make sure it still exists. So this is me. And so, yeah, the more information, the better. And That feels really kind and compassionate to offer that that videotape, and especially from the hotel or from the airport. That's a level of anxiety that many people would be the barrier to coming to a big event. What does it look like? What does it feel like when I get off the hotel? How am I going to find a bus or an Uber or a train? Is that a crowded place? All of it. I would think I would ask all these questions in my head, and I would probably make it worse than it needs to be in my head through brilliant catastrophizing, which I'm an expert. And so it's so helpful that you're bringing that level of knowledge and clarification in. That's really good.
Yeah, we really are. And I'm very excited to let everybody know that the Autism Society of Colorado is now on board with us. So they will be helping us with a lot of volunteers. Good. And so I'm describing to people what our plan is. And of course, holistics are like, they're adults. Why can't they do it themselves? And I'm like, okay, this conference is for autistic women, which means it's for autistic women. We need to make this the experience that works for them. Mm-hmm. So either you're in or you're out. And Autism Society of Colorado has been great at offering their help in getting everything together. So, I mean, I'm an autistic woman. I want all those things there so that I can feel comfortable. And now I know I need to go take pictures of the venue.
Yes, that's very helpful. Very helpful. Even like the check-in area, you know.
Yeah.
When you develop this agenda of different speakers, pulling in different speakers, knowing you, I know because we've talked a few times, you do bring in a lens of intersectionality and different aspects other than autism that people are coming in the room with, coexisting conditions, different races, ethnicities, genders, all the things,
yes,
and different abilities. So I'm just wondering, from an event planning standpoint, how you think of that through an intersectionality lens?
Well, you know, I mean, it's funny because one of the things that I've realized about myself is that I've called myself Mexican-American my whole life. And I've come to realize that it wasn't really me calling myself Mexican-American. It was the Anglo majority population calling me that. Because my parents, my family, family lore is to be believed, was one of the first founding families of San Antonio, Texas. So we've been here for 500 years. It's a perfect example of we didn't cross the Mexican border. The Mexican border crossed us, right? Mm-hmm. So I am very keen on making sure that the people that we have at Autisticapalooza speaking are representative of the cultural and age diversity of autistic women in the United States. It's unfortunate that many of the autistic speakers at conferences today represent only the Anglo population and, to a large extent, the older Anglo population, which means that there are a lot of younger people from different backgrounds that don't pop into the mind of your average American when they think autistic. And I mean, I want Autisticapalooza to be a major force in blowing those stereotypes out of the water. And in particular, for many of our cultures, the way that we're raised creates more and more roadblocks to identifying autism within ourselves. Mm-hmm. For example, I was raised, children are to be seen and not heard. So I didn't talk. I honestly believe it's a true statement to say that I have been in shock since my father retired from the Army at age 5. And, you know, spanking, he hit all the time. And I literally stopped talking. And I mean, all my life I've been told that if you want to be intelligent, that's what white people want. So if I brought home A's from school, that was interpreted as you want to be a white person. So I was raised with all of these ridiculous foundational beliefs from my family growing up in the 70s that really contributed significantly to there's no possible way you can have autism. One of the major ones is that only white people use mental health therapy, which is ridiculous. So I want to get that message out to minority populations that mental health is not just for white people.
Yes. I noticed that your mission statement for Autistic Women Emerging, your business, is suicide prevention or awareness that autistic Is it autistic people are 13 times more likely, autistic women specifically?
Autistic women.
Okay, and then I'm sure it's even greater for trans women, for non-binary.
Yes.
You know, it probably just increases with the intersectionality lens. And so so you feel very passionately about reducing the suicide rate. And I remember reading you said one of the ways you want to do that is organizing events like the Autistica Palooza. And the other one is training mental health professionals. And so I'm curious about that. As a mental health professional, I can say I was not trained to
Yes.
understand different neurotypes, and barely, and this was 30 years ago, barely even different cultural dynamics. Like we just barely skimmed the surface. So you're right, it's very white centric and it's changing a little bit. One of the things I always now talk about from a mental health professional point of view is that rather than being a blank slate, like I think many of us were taught, just be a neutral
Yeah.
blank slate. I very much enjoy leading with vulnerability and transparency and offering my own identity as a autistic ADHDer with PTSD, with disability. And that I think in that kind of no one way liberation allows somebody else to feel safer and maybe
Yeah.
gives them a sense of empowerment to share. Does that conversation come up a lot when you're talking about educating and training mental health professionals, the transparency or the disclosure of different identities?
You know, I remember walking into a psychologist's office and she was shocked for the first several minutes because I was brown. And I just kind of kept talking. And finally she said, it's really odd to have a person from a minority group come in here. So that was my first awareness that, and I guess I shouldn't have been shocked by it, considering the attitude that my father expected me to have. But she was surprised that a person who was a minority would actually go into the office. And very recently, I had a mental health therapist who wasn't mine personally express that she was shocked and surprised that I could speak well. And those are beliefs I'm used to having and hearing from the Anglo population being a minority, especially back in the 70s and 80s. So discovering myself as autistic, I didn't realize I would get those same questions and messages and perceptions. And I find that very interesting. But the fact that those same erroneous perceptions have continued over to me being autistic is one of the reasons that I have put together Autistica Palooza. I really had no business doing it, but I really wanted to do it now because I'm tired of waiting.
Yes.
I've always been told to wait, wait, and the white population will realize that minorities are equal. Wait, and the men will realize that women are equal. Wait, wait, wait. And I am so tired of waiting. That's been part of my diagnosis discovery because I went to an autism conference. There were no autistic women speaking. I told my therapist, and she said, 5 years ago, there were no autistic people speaking at all. So just wait. And I'm like, I don't want to wait anymore. So it has come together. I mean, we have a venue. We have speakers under contract. I just got a team of 10. Tickets are on sale. It's going to be a wild ride. But the first event of everything is Blue Man wasn't Blue Man the first time they threw it.
That's right.
So this is gonna things are gonna happen. Be prepared, but you're gonna be there surrounded by other autistic women, and I would like people to focus on that. I'm a lawyer by trade. I've worked in financial services. Everything I'm doing is coming from the heart. Foolish though it might be, you will have a good experience there. It's not going to be perfect. But if you let yourself have an experience and see the good, then we will have accomplished what we want to accomplish, which is to create that sense of belonging with autistic women.
Nice. Since we're there and you're talking about already, how can people get tickets, register for the Palooza?
The tickets are already on sale on Eventbrite. You can just search on Autistica Palooza. For the month of April, I know it's World Autism Acceptance Month. I really have never like the word acceptance because it goes back to let's wait until the Anglo population accepts minorities. Let's wait until the men accept women. I'm over that too. So at all, it's we are autistic women. Hear us roar. And for this month, promo code ROAR, R-O-A-R, at Eventbrite brings the fee down to $2.99 for April.
Nice. Yeah. Sounds like I better get this podcast episode out pretty quick.
Yes.
Launch this thing fast. Yes. I will. Now that I know it's time sensitive. But if you happen to be listening to this, let's say it's 2025, you're like, oh no, I missed it. My hunch is that this is going to go over so well. There'll be another Autistica Palooza. I know you already have a lot of other ideas brewing. to connect the autistic community. So I think it's going to be really fun. I'm excited to present on autistic and holistic couples and relationships in general. And I'm excited to meet a lot of these speakers and people who I've just known by LinkedIn. And so, yeah, to get to meet people in person is going to be really lovely. So thank you for creating that event and for sharing your heart and for being brave and impatient. I love it. Being like, no, not waiting.
Yeah, being impatient. And I didn't realize it at the time, but, you know, making myself a punching bag for a lot of people, unfortunately. But I've just decided I'm not going to let my inability to help everyone stop me from helping those people that I can.
Yes. The more, you know, influential and visible I get, the more, you know, controversy or hate or debate I get. But when I was quiet and not expressing myself, I felt still lonely, but I felt like I didn't have purpose. And I really didn't feel like I was honoring my own voice. And knowing that I have innate worthiness to speak and be heard and that not everybody is going to agree or like us. But we know, I always think about this when I think about rejection sensitivity, like if we are clear on our character, on our integrity, on our values, other people's criticism, rejections, judgments, they still hurt a lot. But we don't absorb them as truth because we know ourselves so clearly.
Yeah. I mentioned before we got on, I had a bad experience this morning, but I just show how far I've come. I was able to pull myself out of crying for 30 minutes. And then I had two more interviews with fantastic autistic women who really get what I'm trying to do and are willing to risk a little bit of sanity to help me get it done. And it just reiterated that I have found my big tribe. Now I need to find my little tribe. And my little tribe is going to be the Team Awesome staff, women who are willing to fight the good fight and to make Autistica Palooza happen well. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for being here today and sharing your ideas. And I'll be seeing you in person soon in Denver. Super excited.
Yes.
Follow Nigel on LinkedIn and of course through Eventbrite going to the Autistica Palooza event site. And if you want to find me, I'm also on LinkedIn, Pasha Marlow. You can go to my website, PashaMarlow.com. always good to hear from everybody. And yeah, we'll be seeing you soon. So thank you.
Yeah, great. I am so looking forward to it.
Great. Thanks everybody for listening. Bye.
Before you go, I have a favor to ask. Please subscribe to this podcast. That way you won't miss an episode and it'll help me bring it to folks who need it most. Fellow ADHD minds out there, I know you're going to forget. I would too. So let's push that button now and subscribe. Awesome. Thank you so much. Bonus points if you spread the word of the NeuroQueering podcast by sharing it or reviewing it. Thank you. Also, if you want to see more of me, please follow me on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at NeuroQueerCoach. Sign up for coaching at PashaMarlow.com or to guest on my show or leave feedback, email at Pasha@NeuroQueering.com. Thanks all. Happy NeuroQueering. Enjoy your day.